Hey everybody, it's Pastor Brian Ross from Grace Life Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We want to welcome you once again to this midweek video. We appreciate you tuning in as always. If you haven't already done so, if you would consider subscribing and ringing the alarm bell here on YouTube as a way of staying current with the ministry when we go live from our assembly building on Sunday morning, as well as when we create content for you here midweek, we would certainly appreciate that. In this video, I want to respond to and engage in a comment that was left on my midweek video from last week. Did I lie about Job 4:6 in the 1629 Cambridge edition response to Ripplinger that was released last Thursday? And there was a comment made here that I found particularly interesting that I want to go over with you, okay? This is from somebody named Anthony Marcus, and he writes, "Pastor Ross, Dr. Vance is very admired among Peter Ruckman's circle, among my Peter Ruckman circle. How about you display his new research proving full-on translation revision in the AV in his new edition of the King James, his Bible, and his translator's third edition, and also his new research in the text of the King James Bible, which is being released in fascicles right now." Okay, so let me just say, I had a copy of the original King James, his Bible, and his translator's from 2006. And since this person left this comment here last week, I have since ordered it the third edition. Now, you can see the difference here, okay? So this is the first edition. It's considerably smaller than the third edition, all right? Now, I've not had time to read the third edition yet, but I did order it and was prompted to do so based upon this comment here by this viewer, okay? Now, he's saying that people need to consider what Lawrence Vance has to say about the issue of revision being done in the AV. He goes on to say, "It is shocking that Vance went from writing in Peter Ruckman's bulletin to now admitting the AV has actually been revised, causing him to revise his previous errors he made on the editions of the AV in his new edition of King James, his Bible, and its translator's third edition. A storm is certainly coming when the text of the King James Bible gets released. By the way, Vance, in his second edition of King James, his Bible, and its translators, which I do not have, I only have the first and the third, calls Norton's work his, quote, indispensable work." That's on page 153 and 147 of the second edition, "to which you and I both give a hearty amen, and he appears to commend the New Cambridge Paragraph Bible on page 173 and 174. Now, I can't speak to that. I don't have the second edition. I don't know exactly what Vance said about the New Cambridge Paragraph Bible. I think you should use Dr. Vance's new research to get these brothers and sisters to take their heads out of the sand. I hate to put it that way, but when you see the documented revisions of the AV, you can't help but think that this is what they're doing." Okay? Now, to this comment, I have to say amen. All right? There are people who are very Norton-phobic, okay? They do not like David Norton. They do not like his A Textual History of the King James Bible. They do not like his A History of the English Bible as Literature, or the King James Bible, A Short History from Tyndale to Today. They are very Norton-phobic, and let me just say, like, on some level, I understand why. Norton is not a traditional King James-only person. He's not a King James Bible believer in the sense that many of the people who are critical of his work are, okay? But that does not mean that Norton cannot look things up, that he can't collate Bibles, and that he cannot make lists of where there are textual variants within the King James Bible. Now, folks might not always agree with his conclusions. I don't always agree with his conclusions. And I have to say, I don't just take what Norton says at face value. I fact-check Norton against editions. So I just want to show you this. This is my Dropbox file on the King James Version editions. So I have pulled, starting at 1611, all of these different printings of the King James Bible off of the internet. Okay? Now, this has been done either by myself or my research assistant, Alex, has helped me with some of this here of late. But we are literally adding to this folder by the week different editions. And in fact, we have a plan that we're going to go through Herbert's Historical Catalog of Printed Bibles, and we are going to try to pull every single printing that we can locate that is listed in Herbert's catalog and add it to this compendium of King James Bible editions. So the research that we're able to do is based upon the actual scans of these documents. I've presented these photos and images in many of my other videos. So the commenter is saying, look, maybe if you took the approach of not talking about Norton and you talked about Vance, people might find it more compelling or they might be more willing to pay attention. And let me say again, like, I've made this point specifically with some of the folks who I've been the most critical of my co-authored book with Dave Reed, The Myth of Verbatim Identicality, How God Actually Preserved His Word. I've said, look, if you don't like Norton, you cannot afford to ignore Vance, because Vance sees what's going on and he's writing about it, okay? And I've said this before this commenter left this comment on here from last week, okay? Now, specifically, what should you be paying attention to in Vance, okay? Well, I would recommend three major titles for you if you really want to get to the bottom of what Vance is saying. The first one is from 2015, The Making of the King James Bible New Testament, okay? It's a very important book. It documents and collates the 1611 King James Bible against the Bishop's Bible, which served as the base text. And Vance covers this in great detail, and he has a lot of analysis and data and information at the end to unpack the analysis for you, okay? Secondly, again, I would recommend King James, his Bible, and its translators, and I recommend that you get the third edition, because it's just a massive expansion. Even if you have the first, I would recommend maybe picking up the second, because it's a massive expansion. And then the main thing here is right here. The text of the King James Bible is being released in fascicles. Chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 are available, and you can order here. Okay, now I have all of this information. Okay, and I'm going to leave a link in the description for where you can buy this. All right. Chapter 1 covers the 1611 Bible. Chapter 2, the 1611 to today. Chapter 3, the editions of the King James Bible. Chapter 4, the Reims New Testament and the King James Bible. And Chapter 5, the Greek text of the King James Bible. These are all now available in fascicles for you to pick up and check out. And then if you buy all of these individually now, while they're in the sort of the manuscript form, if you will, then Vance will send you a copy of the book once it comes out, okay? Now, specifically in chapter three, which is the editions of the Authorized Version, on page 180, Vance has a table, he has a listing, I should more accurately say, of the different types of changes that have been made. He says, quote, the words in the third column are the modern spellings. The letters in the fourth column indicate the type of variation. So we classify these by type. A equals added words, D different words, E equivalent words, O omitted words, R related, S similar. And then he talks about the dates and indicate when the modern reading first occurs in which editions. And then he goes on for page after page cataloging all of this stuff. Okay, so I have to agree with the commenter that folks who are very Norton phobic cannot afford to ignore Vance's work, because Vance's work is significant. It is important. And Vance notes and makes a point to say that Norton is important, that his work is indispensable. Okay. So we can either continue to pretend like some of this stuff, it doesn't exist, or that it doesn't matter, or more importantly, that old explanations for what's going on, most notably Dr. David Reagan's piece, The Myth of Early Revision, that is dated information. That is based on Scrivener. He did not go and actually look at all of the different printings to see what was actually going on, okay? And so more research has been done on this, first by Norton and now by Vance. And folks cannot afford to ignore what Vance is saying. And I want to go back to the comment, particularly this. A storm is certainly coming when the text of the King James Bible gets released. To that, I would say, again, amen. Because if the reaction to the myth of verbatim identicality has been any sort of barometer or measuring stick for how people are going to respond to the information that is going to be presented, and I'm not suggesting that Vance is in total agreement with, our analysis, but we do cite Vance's work in our book and include tables of readings that have different readings in the King James Bible that we got from looking at Vance's work, some of which is not in Norton or is an expansion of some of the things that Norton said. So I'm going to have to say that I'm going to leave a link in the description for people to check out these things by Vance. Vance cannot be afford to be ignored by those who are Norton phobic. Okay. Now, let me just say also, this coming Sunday, September 8, I am restarting my class after a summer hiatus on From This Generation Forever. Okay. And in doing so, we're going to continue talking about the printed history of the King James text, and we're going to talk about the space of time between the 1629 Cambridge edition, which is where we left off last spring, and the 1638 Cambridge edition. So we're going to be looking at this gap of time in the 1630s and looking at what is going on with the printed history of the King James text. And that first lesson that's going to be taught on Sunday is going to be a follow-up to this video from last week, Did I Lie About Job 4:6 in the 1629 Cambridge edition. More work has been done this week. It's fascinating about what was going on, and we're going to take that work and we're going to insert it into the From This Generation Forever class, because we ended last spring by looking at the 1629 Cambridge. So now we're going to look at the space of time between 1629 and 1638 and some things that were happening within the printed history of the text. So I encourage you to check that video out. We're going to be live streaming at 9 Eastern here on YouTube. Please give that a fair hearing if you would. Also, I want to remind you, our featured book in this video is The Myth of Verbatim Identicality, How God Actually Preserved His Word. There'll be a link in the description about where to pick that up. Please actually read that book before you just believe some of the characterizations that have been made of it in certain quarters. I also want to remind you about our Rumble channel here, Grace Life Bible Church on Rumble. We established this as an alt-text site should something happen to our YouTube ministry. So if you're into alt-text sites or would just like an alternative to YouTube, please check us out here. And lastly, the Bible Conference. We are having a Bible Conference at Grace Life Bible Church on October 18, 19, 20 here at the church, and we will be talking about the nature and character of God the Father. So please consider checking that out. We'd love to have you be a part of that in person. We'll also be live streaming. So I'll leave a link in the description for this video also for where you can get the details on this conference. The most important decision that you will ever make in your entire life is to trust Jesus Christ for your eternal salvation. God loves you. Christ died for your sin. He sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a man to come and die for sin. He hung on the cross. He shed his blood in payment for sin to satisfy the offended justice of God against sin. And 3 days later, he rose again from the grave, the victor over sin and death. God is happy to offer you eternal life exclusively through the death, burial, and resurrection of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Stop relying on your works, your performance, your church going, your tithing, whatever it is that you're relying and trusting on to make you right before Almighty God, and just rely and trust exclusively on what Jesus Christ did for you. Trust Jesus Christ today before it's everlasting too late. Thank you for your attention, and we will see you next time.